Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
You're devaluing the word great if you follow up with Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Are you talking to me? Luke Lipinski? Yeah, Luke. Ray. Spect. Grunge. Ray. Spect. Seattle back in the 90s. And you say you're from the Northwest. You gotta be kidding me. Yeah. That felt good, Basin Onions. I'm not gonna lie.
You definitely needed that today.
That felt fantastic right there. You know, I've got this booming headache too, and just for a few seconds, it went away.
That helps your headache.
Screaming, yes. Are you talking to me?
I got to be honest. I thought there was probably 15 names I thought you might throw out there today.
Well, you know what? Since we started, I have not been able to call you out, obviously, because the Pantera call-out is dead.
You have, though. It should be noted. You've done one of those at a live event, and you called me out.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's right. It was at Bickley's concert.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what you called me out for, because everybody looked at me like, you're getting called out by Wolf, and this is very public.
That's very cool.
The entire crowd, everybody just turned and looked at me.
I totally forget the reason why I did.
I don't know. I would have thought that they would have been the ones upset. But yeah, you needed that today. I could tell.
You know what? I feel better. I do,
okay.
Honestly.
Well, good. All right.
Where are we going in this beautiful
program? You know, well, this is where I thought you might be going with the call out, actually. We're going to talk about Kyler Murray here and the performance mostly on Monday. I mean, I don't really have a problem with anything Kyler Murray has done in his entire career up until Monday. It doesn't mean I think he's been perfect. And now, certainly with Monday, I can look back and say, okay, this or that. Or, I mean, a couple people tweet me and say, you know, you're reacting Monday or to Monday's game like he hasn't struggled in a primetime game before. But I don't really care about the other games if he played well on Monday, you know?
Yes. Yes. No, for me, once again, it wasn't about the primetime game. It wasn't. It was about the stakes. What was at stake for the Arizona Cardinals? Winning and going on, advancing in the playoffs. Hopefully getting to the Super Bowl. That's what was at stake. And it's always been about what's at stake. For me, it's never been about the national stage or the national audience. I was talking about this all last week.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about that. It was about the stakes. What was at stake? And that's the reason why I irrationally and illogically put so much emphasis on Kyler Murray and the person of Kyler Murray and who he is. And it's the reason why I jokingly say he was human, because he looked human to me in that game. And I think we all know we built up that one game so much. It was the reset button game for this team, not Kyler Murray, but for this team. And to see him in a one-game scenario looks so not Kyler Murray was shocking and is shocking now.
You don't want it to be the Rams that caused it, but you really don't want it to be the fact that it's the playoffs that caused it. And look, I mean, to be fair to the people that have been tweeting me about this, like you said, it doesn't have to be the primetime games. How many chances did they have to clinch a playoff spot this year? They
exactly.
had a chance to clinch the division in the last week.
That's a great point.
And they lost all of those games.
Yes. And you know what? Honestly, though, for me, it's not the same thing as the reset button. You got into the playoffs.
Well, yeah.
You're into the playoffs. It is a complete flush everything else you know. Flush it. And it's one and done. This is a one or done situation. You're going to play the game, and you're either going to advance or you're going home.
But that's what's frustrating, is it didn't look like they flushed that. Because if they had gone out there and won on Monday night, or even if they had played well, certainly if they had won, then all that stuff about, Cliff's teams collapsed in the second half, and look, the Cardinals had a chance to clinch the division twice and couldn't do it, or the division once and the playoffs twice, couldn't do it. If they beat the Rams, who cares?
Yeah,
because your biggest
right.
game, you won. But he specifically, and it wasn't all on him, but he specifically looked like the previous Rams game was still in his head when Aaron Donald was back there 15 times. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And that's troublesome because you play that team a lot. But again, I guess I would prefer that to just he was nervous because it was a playoff game, because you might be able to get through the playoffs without facing the Rams at some point. It didn't make any sense. That was the most shocking part of that game by far. It's not
yes.
even close.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It was the most shocking part of that game. I'm still, here I am, 72 hours after. I'm still trying to get over it. And I can't shake it yet. Was that a expectation that was irrational for Kyler Murray? Probably, definitely, in retrospect. But the thing is, that's not going to go away.
No.
That narrative is not going to go away for Kyler Murray until he actually goes out and plays his second playoff game. That's the thing that really is like, you got to be kidding me.
Maybe we had the irrational expectation of looking at the game on paper. Like you said earlier, we should have seen, hey, this team just lost to Detroit. There's some warning flags. Maybe it was irrational to think Kyler single-handedly would be enough to overcome all that. He is your franchise quarterback, but it was his first playoff game, and he's facing a good defense. But the problem is, it's not like, oh, he almost did it, or he didn't live up to you guys, your ridiculous expectations, but he played a decent game. He didn't even look like himself, Wolf.
No.
He was so far on the other end of the spectrum.
That's right.
That's why it's like, okay, well, to get where this team wants to go, they're going to have to go through playoff games, obviously. And
can I just say right now, it may not be the worst thing to happen to Kyler Murray.
Only he, I think, may have gotten something out of that game on Monday. We're not going to know for at least a year.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think anybody else got anything out of that game.
I think we'll know, maybe even sooner than that. This is a situation where a player can really get an awful lot better than what he is right now. If Kyler Murray embraces what happened and learns from what happened, and says this is not going to happen again, doesn't mean he will go out and play great in every playoff game he ever plays from this point forward. That there's no guarantee. But he can actually get better and learn from this if he's willing to face it and embrace it, wear it and get better, learn from it and get better.
Well, I can't imagine he's real happy right now. I mean, as frustrating as it was for all of us, he was, and again, it wasn't just him, but I have to think Kyler Murray was embarrassed by what happened on Monday night. You're talking about a guy that has had success at every level, and he's had success at the NFL level. He's been an MVP leader for the first half of the last two seasons. That ultimately doesn't mean anything, and there's clearly stuff that needs to be worked on, but I don't have the exact number in front of me, but Bickley and Murata were talking about this morning. And they were talking about, was it 39 quarterbacks, the last 39 quarterbacks to make their playoff debut, okay? So they're just their first playoff game.
Okay.
The last 39 that have done it. I want to say that might have been in the 2000s. It's gone back a while. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact stats. But it was the last 39 that have done it. His quarterback rating was 38th of the 39.
Oh, my goodness.
And that, Wolf, is worse than the game Ryan Lindley quarterbacked for the Cardinals in the playoffs.
What's up, Ryan?
Yeah.
That is... Yeah, you know what, again, but that's a situation where you can learn from that, Luke, if you embrace it.
No, I agree.
Kyler Murray has got to wear the fact he did not play well when it mattered the most. What are you going to do about it?
You've shown up all season for the Redbirds, and Redbird Farms Chicken wants to thank you for your support. The fan of the game, text FAN to 620-620 and enter for a chance to win $400 to the team shop. That's not bad. That's FAN to 620-620. Coming up, what's going on with Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins, for that matter, at that linebacker position for the Cardinals? It's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Who is this right here? That is a question that we'll ask.
A little AFI for your listening
AFI,
pleasure.
AFI, you know what? I actually like this a little.
I see. That's what I said. I thought, because AFI has some harder stuff than this, too. I think AFI,
seriously?
Yeah.
AFI, this is kind of the commercial song. This is good, yeah.
I can see Wolf listening to some AFI.
Nice.
Yeah. They get kind of crazy, too.
Okay.
I didn't want to get my face blown off that time, so I just stopped.
Well, I could feel it coming, being the Postmaster General that I am, ladies and gentlemen.
To get you like a hat that says Postmaster General. All right, so the linebacker position for the Cardinals, you know, you look and you say, okay, what do they have to, what do they need? What was kind of missing? What was lacking defensively at the end of the season? Okay, well, you know, corner, they had injuries and they were already pretty thin there. Linebacker, they could use some help at linebacker. And then, Wolf, you're like, wait a minute, they used their first-round pick on a linebacker this year and last year. And, you know, Zaven Collins is a rookie. I think for a lot of the first half of the season, he wasn't playing very much. Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons played a combined 27 snaps on Monday night.
Yes.
So with your season on the line, your last two first-round draft picks barely played. And earlier this season when Zaven Collins wasn't playing, I think a lot of people said, okay, but he's a rookie, and look at how good Isaiah Simmons is in year two.
Yes.
But then Isaiah Simmons stopped being the same guy. I don't even know what the exact point was, but Isaiah Simmons, and you know, you and I, every time we did, hey, who's the most improved Cardinal? You would say Byron Murphy, and I would say Isaiah Simmons, and we would go back and forth, and then Simmons just kind of dropped off in the last 5 or 6 games of the season.
Yes, he did. I really don't know what happened to Isaiah Simmons, but there's going to be a lot of soul searching. There's no doubt about that with Isaiah Simmons and some other Cardinals as well, as there should be. Listen, when you've got the kind of talent that Isaiah Simmons has, or that a Kyler Murray has, or that a Christian Kirk has, or any of these guys that actually may have faded down the stretch, Byron Murphy being one of them as well, you've got to examine yourself. This is the reason why I was talking about yesterday being your harshest critic. And how important that can be.
And he is. Isaiah Simmons is. We learned that this year.
Isaiah Simmons is. Hopefully he's sliding himself under the microscope, metaphorically speaking, and can see, what in the world am I doing here? How am I not making plays? Why am I out of position? Why am I missing tackles? He's got to ask himself all of these questions, and he's the only one who can answer them.
The guy that enabled the Cardinals to not have to lean on Zaven Collins more than they wanted to this season, Jordan Hicks, one of the guys, but he was the main guy. And Jordan Hicks may not be back next season. So to your point earlier, Wolf, you can get some of those guys that might not be here next year. They're going to be pretty honest with you as far as what you need to fix. With the media yesterday, so maybe he won't be quite as forthright as he would be with his coaches. But they asked him, hey, you know, are Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons, are they ready to be thrown into the fire? Are they ready to step in if Jordan Hicks leaves?
I do. I mean, I think, you know, they wouldn't be here if they weren't. And at some point, you got entrusted with them, you know, whether they're ready or not, right? I mean, that's as an NFL player, as a professional, you have to do everything you can to get ready, right? So, as difficult as it may be, you know, I was thrown into that position at one point and had to figure out a way, right? That's just what the job is. You have to figure it out. And, you know, our relationship, you know, between me and Zaven and me and Isaiah and all three of us have gotten really close this year. And, you know, it's been a pleasure working with those guys.
That is a class act right there, ladies and gentlemen. There's few players that I respect more than Jordan. That is a class act. And let me just say this, too. Sometimes you do got to throw somebody in there. Someday you just got to throw a rookie in there and let them sink or swim. It's the fight or flight mentality. And I think, although I would not have done that with Zaven Collins or Isaiah Simmons, I think this year, for the most part, having that first year to acclimate, now the expectation bar has got to be raised in a big way for Zaven Collins and even for Isaiah Simmons, who started off once again so well and so strong. And I also like what Jordan said in regard to putting a guy out there, a young guy, and letting him learn. You know what? Sometimes that's what you got to do, too. Put him at one position, Isaiah Simmons in particular, and let him learn. Let him learn what is taking on a guard and what isn't taking on a guard. Teach him how to do it. Train his mind before you train his body.
It is tough with Simmons. I mean, both those guys, you're right, the bar is raised. You have to get something out of them next year, because for all the people that criticize Steve Keim's drafts, that's your last two first-round draft picks, and those were not like the 32nd pick in the draft. There were very good players still out there on the board. And look, with Simmons, we all wanted Isaiah Simmons when he was still there when they were picking 2 years ago. And I do have more confidence in him because I've seen him do it at the NFL level. I just don't know how consistently he's going to do it yet, but you're going to have to find out, because otherwise, what are you doing with those first round picks?
Yes.
You know what I mean? You have to find a way to get production out of them. And, you know, I'm with you. If you threw Zaven Collins in there from the start this year, I don't think you have the record that you have, because you're not starting the season 7-0. But now going forward, you got to know what you have. Doesn't mean you can't have anybody behind them. I'm sure they'll go out and sign somebody. I don't know if Jordan Hicks will be back or not. He probably wants to go somewhere where he feels like he can start.
Yeah.
But Jordan Hicks, his storyline this season was one of the most fascinating ones, because at the start of the season, it sounded like he wasn't even going to be here, and he ended up playing a pretty big role on this team.
No, he did. No doubt about it. You know, honestly, too, there's a lot of questions that are out there. It's not just Jordan Hicks, of course. Zach Ertz is a name that a lot of people are talking about. James Conner, A.J. Green, Chandler Jones. These are big names.
Yeah.
Big cogs.
We haven't even really
Arizona
mentioned Chandler Jones
did.
Yet.
Chandler Jones. What is your expectation of the Arizona Cardinals bringing back Chandler Jones? Right now, I don't know, because I think Chandler Jones is going to get paid. I think somebody out there is desperate enough for an edge rusher, a guy that is going to come in and make a big difference. Maybe somebody's going to give Chandler Jones the Brinks truck. I don't see that happening, but maybe somebody's going to give him a big enough bag for 1 or 2 years, where the Cardinals, once again, look at it and say, hey, listen, we've already given you the big bag.
Yeah, I mean, in a weird way, I'm sure that the Cardinals would love to have him back for 2 years at a nice price, right?
You know, I love Chan, man. Absolutely, absolutely love and respect his talent and the dude that he is. But right now, if you're telling me he's going to get a big bag,
well, that's the thing.
That's problematic for a team that has a lot of bags to hand out.
He didn't have a monster season statistically, though. You know how there's always like two or three teams that just seem to look at stats and like, hey, I'll way overpay you. He did have 10.5 sacks, but five of them were in the first week of the season. I think a lot of his value to the Cardinals this year was more nuanced and would show up if you were watching the games or watching the game a second time or whatever. So maybe he won't get quite as much as you probably would have expected he was going to get after that week one performance against Tennessee. So maybe he's still in the Cardinals' price range, but I have to believe if he gets priced out by another team, they're not gonna break the bank for Chandler Jones at this point. And they got a lot of questions like that to answer. Like you said, a lot of bags to hand out. I want to go back to the linebackers for one more second here. Cliff Kingsbury was asked yesterday in that game, why is Tanner Vallejo playing more than Collins and Simmons, and what is the future of those two guys?
Yeah, it was a game plan situation, and we hope they'll be able to have more in an off season. This off season, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet, and continue to develop and step in and have more prominent roles.
Yeah. So, you know, going forward right now, they've got a lot of decisions to make, and the free agency is going to be a big deal. The draft position as well, and what you're going to do in the draft. Kyler Murray, the extension. There's going to be a lot of things in the coaching staff as well. Are you going to lose? Is there going to be any turnover in the coaching staff? For me, there always is. There's going to be turnover. My question would be, how much?
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, the Coyotes are in New Jersey tonight. They're playing a lot better lately, and their head coach gets to come back and be behind the bench. He's been gone for a little bit. He'll join us next. Andre Turini is calling in. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. This is the Coyote Coaches Show with Wolf and Luke. Brought to you by Bell Ford, where it's all about the experience. One small step off I-17 in Bell, one giant Ford store.
All right, welcome back to the show, live from the Auction Community Studios. The Coyotes in action tonight against the New Jersey Devils in New Jersey, starting a four-game East Coast road trip through New Jersey, New York, and Pittsburgh. And joining us, as he does every Wednesday, is Coyotes head coach Andre Turini. Coach, it's great to talk to you again. First of all, just hope you're doing well and everything. I imagine watching the team that you typically get to coach had to be a very strange experience for you.
Yeah, you got it. That was different. I've been there before when Coach Junior, when I was away for Coach Award Junior, while my team was still playing during the month of December, I could watch our team play a little bit. But being at home at your kitchen table and watching the game, that was totally different for sure.
So, how are you feeling right now, Andre? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm brand new. I was positive. I had a bad cold, and then I test positive 2 days later. And I had the first 2 days, I was a little bit tired, but just not something I will have had to miss work normally. Just a little bit tired, and past that, I was top shape. So it was just a question of waiting for the 5 days of quarantine.
Do you get to see, I mean, I know you'd rather be behind the bench. I know you have a pretty good view there, but because it was a different way to watch the team, did you see anything that maybe you wouldn't notice if you were right there in the action?
No, I did not see anything out of ordinary. I was, it's different. When you're at the ice level, You have the interaction with the player. You have the frustration of the player. You have the if a player don't understand a certain situation, there's the emotion between the player and the opponent. There's the frustration with the ref sometimes or whatever. You have the feeling of what's going on. Sometimes it's the frustration between teammates or the frustration towards a certain situation system-wise or whatever. So that's when you're on TV or up high, you don't have that feeling. So that's the feeling who makes the difference to coach the team. It's what's going on behind the bench. So
Bear, in the game, in the game of football, there are a bunch of plays, and because of that, there are a bunch of situations that a player has got to react to. And because of that, there are mental errors, a lot of mental errors. And coaches will tell you right now, you will get beat quicker by mental errors than any physical errors that happen out on the field. Is how prevalent are mental errors in the game of hockey?
That's a really good question. You know, when I had a discussion before with a head coach, a professional head coach on the football. And, you know, in football, example, if you have a play, it's a stop play and a lot of stuff happens quick, but you're in offense or you're in defense. You're not in offense and in defense. You know, you're not, you're one or the other. unless they're a turnover, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
In hockey, on every play, you're doing it all. You have to play offense. You have to play defense. There's multiple situations. You can be in your zone, in neutral zone, or in offensive zone. It's three different ways to play defense. And the same thing for offense. If creating offense when you're in offensive zone or when you're in neutral zone of the rush or in regroup, or if you're in your zone in possession of the puck, it, all of those things have specific thing to do. It's a different system, and you need to do it all in your same shift. So do you think there's a mistake? Yes,
yes,
there is, for sure. You know, it's not a stop play every time. It's not a burst of 7, 8, 10 seconds of play. It can be 4 minutes in a row without a stop. It can be you need to change on the fly and all of it. So it's a game. We always say hockey is a game of mistake. That's the reason why.
We're talking to Coyotes head coach Andre Tourney. Coach, you guys are 3-2-1 in your last six, 4-3-2 in your last nine. What has been, in your mind, the biggest difference from now back to the start of the season? And do you notice teams playing you guys differently now?
But I think I would like to believe we progress. We play much better defensively. When we started the season, we were focusing a lot on the defense, and we got much better at defending. But when the time went on, we had really tough time to create offense or just to stay in possession and play with more confidence. I think now we're able to do that. I'm not saying we're suddenly one of the top team in the league, but we can possess the puck and we can get our confidence going. We can hurt opponent if they don't defend well. I think that gives us better balance in our game. When you think about our intensity and the way we defend, that did not change. So we're a more balanced team than we were at the start of the season.
You know, specific with the defense, too, you guys, for a good chunk here, haven't had Jacob Chychrun or Anton Strålman or a lot of your defense. The other night, going into the game, I think four of your defensemen had played like 51 total combined NHL games, and you're playing against like Toronto and Colorado. Any of the young defensemen stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, that's the bright spot. We have good young players, and if you look up front, it's the same. You look at our power play, and so you have a lot of good young players playing in those key situations. But I really like what Kolejakonok and Soderstrom did with us for a little stretch. Mosher is playing extremely well. You think about Dustin Mayo is with us since the first month of the season, and he's playing really, really well, playing a lot of minutes. He's a good pro. Really like the way what he brings to the team. So those are young defensemen. You know, you have a guy like Capobianco who's been hurt on COVID, but he's a guy who has a lot of feel and he has talents. And Chick and Gutisberger, they're veterans, but they're young veterans. They're not they're not 30 years old guys. So other than really Strålman and Libushkin in our back end, we're fairly young.
Talk to me about your special teams and where you are right now and where you need to get better, Bear.
We need to get much better in those. You know, I think our PK climbed the ladder. We're getting there. We're tougher and tougher to play against. But we still sometimes just find a way to give goals. It's a deflection. It's at the end of a PK, whatever. We're playing good. We just need to make just one more step to become very good, which it will be better for us, because when you dig a hole in the statistic like we did, now it will be tough for us to climb the hill. But just in the momentum of our game and every week, that will help a lot if our PK just gets a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And our power play, that's just where we need really to step up. And if we can win the special team battles on a consistent base, that will be huge, because at 5-on-5, we hold our opponent at even most of the time, but we need to win that special team battle.
Coach, it's great to have you back. Good to hear that you're doing well. Good luck on this road trip, all right?
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks, Bear.
That's Coyotes head coach Andre Tourney joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. The Cardinals have some key decisions to make when it comes to their free agents this offseason. What does Steve Keim have to do? And that criticism's already being thrown at Cliff Kingsbury nationally again. We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to the Coyote Coaches Show with Wolf and Luke, brought to you by Bell Ford, where it's all about the experience. One small step off I-17 in Bell, one giant Ford store.
98.7 FM,
Arizona's sports station. Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, final segment of the show. Wolf, I had held back from playing any Keyshawn audio throughout the show. See, you're digging this. You're liking
this. No, I do. I kind of like this right here. Okay, you're talking. You're yelling at me.
And actually, I'm not going to play the Keyshawn clip. I'm going to play the Stephen A. clip instead. So I'm going to completely hold off the Keyshawn stuff. I'm just trying to find the Stephen A. clip. But talking about Cliff Kingsbury and where this goes now, the questions are there again. You can have as much criticism of Cliff as you want. I get that. But
no matter what job you did and no matter what props I'll give you, you never deserved the job. On the collegiate level, what did you do? You were average. You went to a bowl game a couple of times in 6 years, okay? You didn't have a winning record in your time in college, yet you the golden boy that just leapfrogs over a whole bunch of white and black coaches in the National Football League that were far more deserving of the opportunity, that had at least their resume tells us they could have done a better job with a Kyler Murray, and somehow you get that job and y'all nosedive like this. So I think last night, to some degree, was chickens coming home to roost, because I think if you had a better coach, they would have been better prepared. Kyler Murray wouldn't have looked as awful. Maybe A.J. Green would have had a catch. Maybe Zach Ertz would have been utilized well enough to have more than three catches for 21 yards, okay? And we'd be looking at a team that was far more competitive than they were last night.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you react first.
No, I'm just, listen, this is the kind of criticism you are going to get when you go out and you play in your first playoff game and you coach in your first playoff game and you look like they did. This is what's going to happen from the media. And once again, there are a lot of guys out there in the media, Basinonians, that champion their victories and ignore their defeats, if you know what I'm talking about. And Stephen A. Smith is one of those guys as well. Not going to hear about when he was just flat out wrong. Not going to hear about that at all. But you know what? When he's right, you will hear about it.
Well, Stephen A. Smith is one of a kind, and I get that that's his brand, and he's the guy that will stare into the camera and kind of personally attack Kevin Durant. I mean, he's done this stuff. I understand. Stephen A. Smith, and totally entitled to his opinion here. And I, like you just said, when you lose the way you did, you're going to get the criticism. You opened the door to the criticism. The one thing that stood out to me, though, Wolf, out of all that, is there's one thing of saying, like, they lost this game because they were coached poorly, and I don't know if Cliff's the guy going forward, and maybe, look, even if you want to call for his job, fine. But he started it by saying he never even deserved to be hired. How many coaches do you ever hear that about?
Yeah.
Especially a coach. And I don't want to defend Cliff too tightly here because they were horrible down the stretch.
Yeah.
But 12 weeks into the season, he was the front runner for Coach of the Year, and he was getting endorsements from Bill Belichick.
Yes.
To then come back and say he never even deserved to be hired?
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, but see, that is something that a lot of analysts all over the country could not tolerate about Cliff Kingsbury.
That's what
I'm
saying.
They wanted to see him fail.
It's specific to him.
It's because of that. Right there. You if you take any other coach and say he's gonna win 5, 8, and 11 games and get into the playoffs, any other coach, what do you think they're gonna say about him?
I mean, honestly, him as a genius.
Here we go. This is exactly what you hired him for. 5 wins, 8 wins, the team is getting better. He got into the playoffs. He's right on track. The rebuild has happened in Arizona. That's what everybody would be saying. But it's Cliff Kingsbury and how he got the job. And the fact that many people feel exactly like Stephen A. Smith, who feels like he never deserved the job. Hey, you know what? There's a lot of people out there that don't feel that players deserve contracts. But guess what? Some team paid the player and gave him the money. What was he supposed to do? Say no? Cliff Kingsbury got the job. And the fact that he went 5-8-11
coming off a three-win season.
In 3 years.
Yeah.
If it was any other name, people be saying, man, that he's done his job. You can see what, where's the extension? It's because of what happened. It's because of the one game scenario and what happened on Monday night. If the Cardinals win that game, I think that narrative goes away about Cliff Kingsbury. I think it does. You know me.
I think we flipped because I remember having this conversation with you a few weeks ago, and you're like, for some, it may never go away.
For some,
Cliff.
It won't.
Yeah.
For some, it won't because they were so adamant about it.
Because what about...
They'd be wrong if, in fact, he took them to the Super Bowl. They'd be wrong. And nobody will admit that I was wrong about Cliff Kingsbury. Again, if you took any other coach and he went 5-8-11 wins and got him into the postseason, people be saying they're right on track.
What about the 18 coaches that didn't make the playoffs? Look, Brandon Staley, I'm not trying to pile on the guy, but he pretty directly kept his team out of the playoffs on multiple occasions this season because he refused to do half of the coaching job and was 100% analytics. What about Mike McCarthy, who on multiple occasions cost his team that game on Sunday?
Yeah, but I would say with Mike McCarthy, there's a guy that is a proven winner. There's a guy that has won in the National Football League. But
the criticism, again, if you're a Cardinals fan and you're frustrated and you're like, look, I don't think this is the guy. I'm here for it. I'll listen to that. Cliff raised a bunch of questions again at the end of the season. Those are fair questions to ask. But there is a difference between I don't think the Cardinals can win a Super Bowl with Cliff Kingsbury as our head coach. And, no, that guy never deserved to be hired, and I was waiting for him to lose so I could point it out.
Yes.
That's odd timing to point it out. They did just go 11-6. There was a lot of coaches who did worse jobs or at least had worse records this year.
You know, once again, too, a lot of people throw stuff at Cliff Kingsbury because of how he calls games and how he goes about his business. I would say tread lightly. And it's because of Kyler Murray in that situation. Maybe Kyler Murray, I don't know this to be the case, but maybe Kyler Murray doesn't want to be under center. No way in the world does Kyler Murray want to be under center. Maybe that's what, now all of a sudden you're already handcuffing Cliff Kingsbury in regard to saying, you know what? What if we do that? What if we go ahead and expand that part? You know I've been talking about this for over a year. Going all the way back to last year in the 2-5 of what happened last year. Listen, you know, Kyler Murray's got to be on board as well to some of the changes that have to be made. And I know immediately what everyone's going to say is, he's the head coach. Bench him then if you – really? You're gonna create a franchise quarterback fire inside your own organization. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the reality is...
if that's not going to happen.
You bench Kyler Murray, you won't be coaching the team anymore. That's the reality. Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick. Again, I don't want this to sound like I'm sitting here defending the job Cliff Kingsbury just did, because I didn't think he did a very good job the last month of the season, and especially on Monday night. I have a lot of questions. Even before that game was over, I don't understand why James Conner's not getting the ball in the first half, or why you're coming out and only passing, as Max said earlier, when Max Starks was on with the show... You know it's going to be difficult to pass against the Rams, so you come out only throwing. But there is just that first line stuck out for someone you've been saying for a while now of there seems to be a group that specifically wants him to fail. It's not Cardinals fans. Cardinals fans want their team to win. If they don't feel like Cliff's doing a good job, they're going to be emotional and angry about it, and I get it. But there is that national feeling out there of like, see, I told you Cliff's not even that good. Like, he's better than you told us he was going to be, whether he's the guy for the job or not.
There's so many guys, once again, that will ignore their defeats and, of course, champion their victories. That happens with a lot of people. It's called human nature, ladies and gentlemen. It is. You know, it's one of the things that never scared me, Luke. It never did. I'd rather be fair than right. I would rather be fair than right. I'm wrong every day of my life. Every time I wake up, every day, every morning, I'm wrong. Make a mistake. Like every human being. I'm just not afraid to admit it.
It's an interesting way to end the show with you saying you're wrong every day, but I understand your
every
point.
Every day.
It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Aaron Maloney for doing everything behind the glass. For Wolf, I'm Luke. Burns and Gambo is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.